Welcome back to another episode of Hard Money Dispatch, the show that demystifies sound money and helps you see the system for what it is. No guests today. It's back to being just me. I haven't done a solo episode in a while. Today we're going to be talking about the Bitcoin bear market, how there's some strange anomalies there, and a little thing or two I've learned about trading psychology over the years being in the markets. So first off, I'm not perma-bullish without reason. I mean, I am to a degree, but I did warn about bear market signals in the December 13th edition of the Hard Money Dispatch newsletter. Anyone can go and see that. I warned that because the price had fallen beneath the 50-week simple moving average, the odds of a bear market coming soon were pretty high. So it's not as though I'm just trying to pump my bags or whatever. What people always say, somebody accused me recently of keeping the retail bid warm, just trying to get people to buy Bitcoin, which is a fair criticism. I admit that. But that is not all I say. I'm not a financial advisor, not telling anyone to do anything in that regard. And yes, I provide a more balanced analysis. I'm not always saying it's going to 10 million tomorrow or anything like that. So getting back into it, this cycle has broken some historical patterns. You know, the big saying, joke in finance is always that this time is different. Everybody always thinks this time is different, and it never really is, except when it actually is different. And this time, this bear market has some anomalies, some strange, different patterns from past bear markets. So some of those include there were only two green yearly candles before a red one instead of the usual three, because in the past cycles, there would be three up years and then one down year. This time, we had 2023 and 24 being up years, and then 25 was a slight down year, printed a red candle. So that is different. And more importantly, you had the ISM, a very important macroeconomic indicator, not peaking yet. Whereas historically, the peak in the ISM roughly correlated, or sometimes exactly correlated, with the peak in Bitcoin for that four-year cycle. And so that's two ways it's different. Number three is liquidity, and this might be the most important one, because global M2 liquidity has historically had the highest correlation to Bitcoin more than anything. And at some point in mid-late 2025, last year that correlation broke down somehow. It was very mysterious, very strange. If price had actually kept up with all the money printing like it usually does, Bitcoin would be trading somewhere around 200,000 plus right now. So I don't know what exactly all this means. I mean, the backdrop is paradoxically bullish while price action is bearish or now sideways for a little while. I don't know how to interpret this exactly. Anyone who does tell you they know exactly what it means is lying. And anyone who denies it and says it's just like everything in the past is also lying or just ignorant, because these are pretty relatively simple things. Anyone can, you can fact check me on this. You don't have to believe me. Go look it up for yourself or read the newsletter. I lay it out all there in the newsletter for the week of February 16th. And the last thing, two last things, risk management is important. You can set stop losses. You can hedge with a short position. And the real edge isn't making accurate predictions. It's more about self-awareness. Mastering your psychology matters more than trying to call the top and bottom, which no one really does successfully, other than maybe a few freak anomalies here and there somebody might. But you know, I see people on Twitter, for example, saying, I've called every major market top and bottom for the last 30 years, so you better follow me or you're going to regret it. Just block those clowns. It's obviously a lie. They're a joke and a half. No one does that. Not even the most seasoned, educated professionals, not even the richest people in the world. Like nobody is capable of that. Simply not possible. What matters more is knowing how you react to things when you have real money on the line. When you're invested in something, you act differently, and That's a lesson I learned from a book called Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. Get more into that in a second. So I was talking about things that make this cycle a little different so far. And there's an interesting chart here that I included in the newsletter from Nico Smead on LinkedIn, posted it. It's from NiceHash and Digital Mining Solutions. Shows the duration of past bear markets from peak to bottom was typically about a year, anywhere from 364 days at the least to 384 days at the most. Somewhere in between there has been the length of the past few bear markets. Right now, we're about 109, 110 days into this, I think. And so that would suggest we've got most of the rest of this year to go, right? And Benjamin Cohen does great analysis on this. According to him, the bottom will be either in May or in October. He thinks it's more likely to be October. I think the odds are looking higher that it could actually be May or sooner, because everything is so different and the macroeconomic backdrop is just so insanely bullish that, you know, the price action doesn't really make sense. Could have something to do with the fact that 75% of all trading volume is now derivatives. That can affect price discovery, but that's a whole other topic I'm not going to get into right now. So the ISM refers to the ISM Manufacturing Index, which tracks new orders, production, supplier deliveries, and inventories. It acts as a leading indicator of freight demand and overall shipping activity in the economy. It's one of the most, if not the most, important macroeconomic indicators out there. And in the past, you know, in 2011, the Bitcoin market peaked. ISM was at about 58. 2013, it was at 57. Early 2018, it was bouncing around just beneath 60. And then the 2021 bull market peak, the ISM was at about 65, it looks like. And this time, so in the past, it's always been 56, 55, 56, or higher, even above 60. Okay, and this time, at the time of the Bitcoin peak, ISM was just at 48. So that is very strange. And interestingly enough, there's a pretty big jump in ISM in the months following the peak in October, where it's gone from 48 to now being at 52.6. So that's roughly a 10% jump. With that and global liquidity rising, it should be bullish for Bitcoin. So again, this is very strange, and there's not enough people talking about it in a reasonable manner, in my opinion. There are people talking about it, and they're saying new all-time highs are coming in 2026 for sure. The bear market's fake. It's, you know, 500,000 coming soon. I don't know about all that. I mean, I can kind of see where they're coming from, I guess, but I think we need to be a little more realistic and realize that there's a chance these correlations are just breaking down, and nothing is really different other than that. You know, the cycle structure could stay intact, and the market just doesn't react to these things in the same way it used to. My opinion, my take is that it's just the timing has changed, that maybe this bear market will be shorter and or shallower, or maybe there could be new all-time highs this year. One thing is that it's very unpredictable right now. Like, all the models are broken. You can't really infer too much from the past trends anymore, necessarily, aside from maybe the big things like the 200-week moving average acting as a support, for example. But other than that, it's just really hard to predict and see, even think about what's going on, what's going to come next. So it's more about managing your own situation and doing what's best for you and making sure that you don't freak out and you don't make bad emotional decisions based on fear and greed and all that. So another interesting thing, got a chart here from Bitcoin Magazine Pro showing that every time in the past when Bitcoin has had five or more consecutive red months, that has preceded some of the biggest rallies. So that could be the case here too. Now, going back to when somebody accused me of writing the newsletter to pump Bitcoin and all that, I don't take any of this lightly. And it's important to acknowledge personal biases, but the number one most important rule of trading and investing is to not let your emotions get involved. I learned that from a book called Trading in the Zone by Mark Douglas. It's a really enlightening book on trading psychology. And eventually, what I learned there led me to realize short-term trading wasn't for me. It's too high pressure and emotional, and we all have our limits in those things. So in 2025, I decided to take a different approach. Instead of looking at charts and trying to day trade, hours or days, or swing trade, or the trades last weeks or months, I decided to take longer-term trades based on patterns and trends. And as a result, managed to outperform the S&P by 14% for the first time. And to be fair, that's just 1 year. This year may or may not be a repeat. But to me, it's a big achievement. And while that doesn't include Bitcoin, some of the trades were Bitcoin related, like call options and IBIT or Bitcoin Treasury company shares. And I do believe understanding Bitcoin and its properties, how it works, leads to a greater understanding of the financial system at large and the role it plays in our lives, whether we like it or not. The two are inextricably linked, despite being separate. And the point I was trying to make there is just that I'm not just writing this because I want you to buy Bitcoin, and I'm not just making this stuff up. I've been doing this for almost 13 years now, since 2013, researching it all nonstop, Bitcoin-related tech markets, learning from experience nonstop. This is real life. My money is where my mouth is, so take that for what you will. The biggest lesson I learned from trading in the zone was that when you have your own real money on the line, it shifts your psychology and you act differently. It's not that hard for the average person to identify winning trends, see where good opportunities might be, but it becomes extremely difficult as soon as your own dollars are on the line. The risk becomes real and everything relies on your accurate judgment and decisions. Markets can behave in any way at any time for any reason, and the only person who can help you take the correct action is you. And usually the best way to do that is by having a plan in place before that and sticking to it regardless of what happens and what you're feeling. So most important thing, therefore, is self-awareness, knowing yourself and your own emotional tendencies, not making the best predictions or conducting the best analysis or drawing the best lines on charts or whatever it is like that. So the point of this podcast and newsletter is to pass on the knowledge I've gained along the way, make the journey of learning about Bitcoin less confusing, and help people understand that while the fiat system may be rigged against us, there can still be ways to turn it in your favor and have a great life regardless. And I just want to mention really quick the last episode of the Hard Money Dispatch. I had a great guest on. His name was Nick Sledengren. He led a successful marketing company to a very large exit. And then he was also an early Bitcoin Ethereum investor, and he discovered the nightmare that is crypto taxes and started a company called Count on Sheep, a crypto tax advisory service. Obviously, you know this if you listened to last week's episode, but I just had to mention it again because I think that was my favorite episode, my favorite guest so far. We had a really, really great conversation, not just about all this stuff, but about life and business. And it was fascinating to me to hear that, you know, he made all this money to the point where he'll never have to worry about money again in his life. And that's like the dream for most people. Everyone wants to achieve that. It's like the finish line in life. But for him, and this story is not unique, but he really went through a hard time after that because he dedicated so much of his life, all day, every day, for years to this company, this purpose. All of a sudden, that's gone. And all of a sudden, there's just kind of this void. And it ruined his marriage. He got divorced. He was really lost and struggling for a little while and finally got back on track and started this new company. So I'm summarizing, paraphrasing. Obviously, he talks about it in a much more articulate way than I do. Obviously, it's his story. He knows it a lot better than I do. But there are other stories like that out there. So, again, it's not all about profits or income or all that. There's more to life, and this is just one aspect of it. So, closing thoughts here. Bitcoin, the network, is a monetary protocol backed by energy. Bitcoin BTC, the currency, is digital property, a commodity, crystallized energy in cyberspace, and a currency all at once. The Bitcoin blockchain is like the highway. BTC is like the car that moves on the chain. And you don't hear this talked about very often, but differentiating the two is an important distinction, and it makes the whole thing easier to understand, I think. And while this week's newsletter edition and podcast episode have been almost exclusively focused on the investment side of things, that value only exists because of the protocol, the technological breakthrough that created digital scarcity and permissionless, unconfiscatable hard money for the first time in history. If you take nothing else away from this, I hope it's that. Thank you for listening. If you made it this far, please leave a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you're watching on YouTube, YouTube thinks that you would like this video next, should show up right here, and leave a like and subscribe. And thanks again, and I'll see you next time.